Welcome to Studio 1776. I'm your host, Daniel Leach. I'm joined here by Eric, the Freedom Screamer of Courtroom Watch. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you, Daniel.
So what's the topic that you wanted to cover this evening?
I want to share a very important speech that a scientist gave, and I'm going to try to, let me see if I can find the date here. I'll give you the lead up. This is a scientist. His name is Ken Caldera. And everybody who cares about anything to do with what's going on currently, and you can, unless you're living in a jungle somewhere, and even there, this is affecting you. So if you care about the whole situation with the vaccine mandates, masks, government corruption, mandates, interference, businesses shut down, people going broke, people running around in fear, people running around with masks on thinking that's going to help. If you're concerned with any of these things, the financial situation, the environment, the biosphere collapse, you're going to want to know about this. And once again, I'm not exaggerating when I say if you live in a jungle and it had nothing to do with civilization, this would still affect you. Why? Because this particular scientist, Ken Caldera, is what's called a geoengineer, G-E-O-E-N-G-I-N-E-E-R, geoengineer. These are the gentlemen that play with the biosphere systems of the planet, and they're not doing it any favors with some of the programs that they're executing. I'm gonna let him, the geoengineer scientist, Ken Caldera, talk about one of those programs. It's short right here. It's very brief. Now, I want people to think of this in terms of in context of the current situation, what's going on with coronavirus, COVID, all the graft and the money and the corruption. Graft means greed, by the way. Greed, graft, corruption. All the money flowing to the hospitals and the corporations to cover COVID losses, and they end up making more off COVID than they did before. So follow the money. So we're going to have, I tried my audio with Daniel, and it's going to be iffy to try to play the video. I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to just pause every couple of words and repeat what this guy is saying. So, and it's a short, this is not going to take all night, this is a couple of minutes. I think the video is short. Yeah, this particular video says it's only a minute and 48 seconds long. So, but I'm going to let him speak a little, then I'm going to pause, repeat what he said, so people get it just through their head. This is extremely important. This is about as important, if not more important, than what we talked about during our last session, Daniel, which was snake ingredients, snake venom peptides in the COVID-19 vaccine. So all of you who took the vaccine, you now have the genetics of the serpent in your body. It's not a good place to be. I recommend no more boosters and think for yourself in the future. I think most of the people who follow us are really discerning and self-taught, and they do their research and they study things. And anybody who's really looked into this entire situation from top to bottom, and it doesn't take that long. I mean, a couple of weeks of part-time research can explain everything. Some people can condense it into a few hours. We'll do that maybe later, the overview of everything that's going on and what it's all about, which is ultimately population reduction. I've been watching some of the people who are hitting the panic button about how many people are on the planet. And long and short, the global shot callers, the people in charge, the people who have the keys to the world, who are at the steering wheel, they want fewer people. There's not enough resources to feed the billions and billions and billions of people on this planet. That's a whole other debate. I do not believe population should be reduced dramatically by, fire plagues and things, war and things that are famine, things that are engineered by very powerful forces and very powerful people. Don't forget, folks, the people who run the world, you'll never see them on TV, and the people on TV do not run the world. So just tuck that away and remember that. So this is Ken Caldera, C-A-L-D-E-I-R-A is his last name, Ken Caldera. Once again, his last name is spelled C-A-L-D-E-I-R-A. Listen to this in terms of of COVID and the situation that's going on right now. Let me rewind this back, and I'll hit play here in a second, and we'll just do the best we can with the crappy audio. But like I said, I'll translate it for people because you may not hear it very well. So here we go. This is right on YouTube, by the way. We're going to post a link to this. If you type in geoengineer Ken Caldera, you'll find this right on YouTube. So it's not, it's hiding in plain sight, so to speak. The motto of the Illuminati is hide in plain sight. And they're doing it right here. Listen.
I used to work at North Thermal National Lab.
Let me pause there. This is Ken Caldera saying he used to work at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories. That's where the military weapons projects, biological, biochemical agent development, all kinds of geoengineering, all the deep, dark projects that are going on. And if you think the military is just sitting around waiting to get called up to go off to war, that's just one of their many functions at a very lower level. They do many other things, including develop very sophisticated weapons. So this is Ken Caldera saying that he worked at Lawrence Livermore Laboratories. Let's continue.
We once participated in a meeting where we all sat around the room and thought about how could we manipulate geophysical systems to use.
It was once at a meeting where they sat around the table and talked about how to manipulate geophysical systems. Back to the video, Ken Caldera. And use it as a weapon. So let me back that up a little bit and play that so you can hear that whole sentence, including the use it as a weapon part.
Manipulate geophysical systems to use it as a weapon.
To manipulate. He once went to a meeting where they talked about how to manipulate geophysical systems to use it as a weapon. Back to the video.
The meeting was about weaponizing geophysical intervention.
The meeting was about weaponizing geophysical intervention. Okay, by the way, this guy who you're listening to, not me, but him, Dr. Ken Caldera, the world's leading geoengineer, one of the top three, now works for Bill Gates, and Bill Gates calls him one of his favorite, I forget the nickname, we're going to have to pull that up, Daniel. I'll do that after the video, see if I can pull that up. But Bill Gates just recently praised this gentleman, Dr. Ken Caldera, who worked for Lawrence Livermore Laboratories, who once was at a meeting where they talked about manipulating geophysical systems and how we could turn it as a weapon. Just back to the video.
That means, you know, could you somehow interfere or function in a way that you could use it as a military weapon?
That means, could you interfere with Earth's function to use it as a military weapon? Back to the video.
Could you change climate? What could you do in terms of manipulating the sort of Earth's physical system so that...
Could you manipulate the climate, and what else could you do to manipulate the Earth's physical systems?
Well, you know, some of the ideas were okay, because maybe we could blow up hydrogen bombs, you know, underwater, offshore, and make a tidal wave that would go over.
Let me stop you right there. He just said blow off hydrogen bombs underwater to make a tidal wave to go over to your enemy. Sounds like Fukushima to me. There was geological activity, extreme amounts of it, just before, registered with the Geological Service, just before the tsunami that took out the nuclear reactor in Japan at Fukushima. Back to the video.
City. And you know, the result was, well, it's going to be easier just to drop a hydrogen bomb on the city. You know, that's...
Isn't it easier just to drop the hydrogen bomb on the city? Nice guy, huh? Back to the video.
You could imagine, though, if they put in pathogen. Wow.
You could imagine, though, putting pathogens in a cloud. I repeat, you could imagine, though, putting pathogens in a cloud. This is the guy who does stuff like this. This is not somebody dreaming or writing a movie for Hollywood. This is the world's leading geoengineer, now works for Bill Gates, worked at Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, sit in on meetings on how to manipulate Earth's geophysical systems, and now he's talking about you could put a pathogen in a cloud. Let's just back up so we get there one more time.
Pathogens in a cloud.
He says cloud. Boy, he sounds like he's having a good time doing it to me. Pathogens in a cloud. Wonder if that could have anything to do with what's going on now. Back to the video.
You know, go over somewhere that would rain down on your end and create, you know, do chemical warfare and this kind of...
the cloud would float over and fall out, the pathogens would fall down on your enemy, and you could commit bacterial warfare that way. Let me just back that up and give his exact words. This basically says it all, folks.
On your enemy and create, you know, do chemical or term warfare in this kind of way. And that might work against something that would be as big as the former Soviet Union, where, you know, you could be pretty sure that within a few days that cloud would rain.
Chemical or germ warfare, you could do it over the Soviet Union and be pretty sure that it could rain out within a few days. By the way, I apologize to our Russian brothers and sisters. We have some lunatics here. I'm sure you do there, too. But ours are particularly disgusting. My video doesn't want to play now. I think that almost said it all. For some reason, everything's locking up here. Let me try to refresh this page and see what happens. Yeah, I think it's going to work.
And where did you find this?
So we have Dr. Ken Caldera talking about how he worked at Lawrence Livermore Laboratories. He was at a meeting where they discussed manipulation of geophysical systems. He also talked about setting off a hydrogen bomb under the water to create a tidal wave to take out your enemy. Sounds like what happened in Japan to me with all those reports of massive geological disruption before that tidal wave that took out the Fukushima reactor in Japan. And then how could we put the pathogen in a cloud and spray it over our enemies? Let's pick this up one more time here.
I used to work in Lawrence Livermore National Lab, and I once participated in a meeting where we all sat around the room and thought about how do we manipulate geophysical systems to use it as a weapon. The meeting was about weaponizing geophysical intervention. That means, you know, could you somehow interfere in functioning in a way that you could use it as a military weapon? Could you change climate? What could you do in terms of manipulating the sort of Earth's system? Some of the ideas were, okay, we could maybe blow up hydrogen bombs underwater, offshore, make a tidal wave that would go over a city. And you know, the result was, well, it's easier to just drop the city. You know, you could imagine, though, say, putting pathogens in a cloud.
You could imagine, though, putting pathogens in a cloud.
Let the cloud, go over somewhere, then it would rain down.
Let the cloud go over somewhere, then it would rain down. On your enemy.
Create, you know, do chemical or germ warfare in this kind of way.
And do chemical or germ warfare in this kind of way.
And that might work against something that would be as big as the former Soviet Union.
And that might work on something as big as the former Soviet Union.
Where, you know, you could be pretty sure that within a few days, you know, that cloud would rain out.
Where you could be pretty sure in a few days the cloud would rain out. I think that's the end of the video. Well, that pretty much says it all, doesn't it, Daniel?
Yeah, that's pretty pretty freaky stuff, huh?
Yeah, so we have now a pathogen that could very well, and when I look up and I see so much unnatural amounts of air traffic in the sky that it defies reality. Well, let me pause this. I was talking because these things have to be dispersed, obviously, by jet aircraft. There's all kinds of video online of the aircraft jet trails, the spray turning on and off. I'll try to tell you, oh, that's just a contrail. That happens normally. You know, that condensation comes out of a couple of things. The modern jet aircraft produce almost no water vapor, no condensation. Condensation trails should last a half a mile to a mile, maybe a couple of miles, and depending on altitude and certain weather conditions, but evaporates. It certainly doesn't grow into a thick paste that covers the whole sky with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dispersions crossing the sky back and forth. That's not natural aircraft. Where I live has maybe a dozen aircraft fly over in a day. Some of them you'll see, some of them you won't. But that's roughly the amount of air traffic we have here. A dozen, maybe if it was a heavy, you know, season where there was a lot of travel, maybe a couple of dozen, but hundreds. So I think the evidence is there. Believe what you see, people, not what people tell you is a conspiracy theory. This is a fact. If this guy is a major scientist, he's telling us he worked for Lawrence Livermore. He's telling us they tried to weaponize the geophysical systems of the planet. He's telling us how great it would be to set up a hydrogen bomb under the water to make a tidal wave. And then on second thought, wouldn't it be just easier to drop it on the city? And also, hey, how about this one? We could create a pathogen, spray it into a cloud system, and have the cloud rain down the pathogen on your enemy below. And guess what? Stupid American running around all day chasing their tails and wearing their masks doesn't even look up and realize they're under attack. And that is my, with the amount of spraying that they've been doing, it was so heavy today that the sky was completely white. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, there's a new book out called Under a White Sky. Look into it. The Brookings Institute just came up with how we're going to need to do geoengineering to save the planet from global warming. And CIA Director Brennan on video saying that we need to keep geoengineering in response to global warming. So this is all out there, and the major players in government are talking about it. We got Ken Caldera here saying that they weaponize it by bringing it into a cloud. So this stuff could vary. This is why ignoring reality and saying, well, I don't know about all that stuff, or yeah, I don't know, it sounds like a conspiracy theory. Those are just contrails, or they wouldn't be doing that, or, you know, would somebody tell us? No, 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 and no. And yes, they are doing it. So relying on the prostitute media with miniskirts and lipstick trying to seduce people on TV while idiot men stand there and stare at them, you know, thinking that they're, you know, they're going to have a fantasy with this. And they do it on purpose. That's why we call them the prostitutes, because they're nothing more than, well, we won't go there. So it's obvious that geoengineering is being executed. Does the weapons programs that were being executed by Ken Caldera and Lawrence Livermore Laboratories, do they coincide, you know, regarding spraying a pathogen in the clouds and having it rain down on your enemy below? Could that be happening now? And I would say it's very, like, knowing all the what's going on the international level and the wars that are about to take place, whether they're staged or not, it certainly fits. This piece of the puzzle certainly has its place, and it certainly fits perfectly into the agenda that seems to be being executed at the highest levels. Any comments on this, Daniel? What do you think about Ken Caldera? And can you post a link to this video so people can see the scientist himself saying it? They can look around and see what's going on with the whole COVID-19 scare and paranoia, freak out, creating nightmares for people, ruining the holidays, shutting down businesses, telling people they can't go to the game without sticking a needle in their arm like a stinking junkie. And certainly, it certainly seems to be, oh, I don't know, at least circumstantial evidence, if not more, wouldn't you say, Daniel? And very compelling circumstantial evidence. When you have scientists saying we could spray a pathogen in the sky, then you look up and they're spraying, and all of a sudden everybody's getting sick with this mystery, and we all know a virus can't transmit through the air. I know a personal person, I have a personal friend who works in the vaccine manufacturing industry, and he told me there's only two ways to transmit a virus from one person to the next. These are his words. He said, wrap your lips around it, that means eat it, and probably include sexual intercourse, or inject it in your body through a needle, ha ha ha, which is exactly what the, quote, vaccine is doing. So that's the only way you're going to get a virus to spread, if you can get people to literally, you know, swap spit. I hate to be gross, but he said you have to wrap your lips around it. You have to eat it. You have to ingest it or mainline it through a needle like a stinking junkie. And people out of fear because they're idiot doctors. Yeah, because the guy in the white lab coat and the black robe said, yes, you do this. People were stupid enough not to do their own research. They're not, and the ones who took the vaccine are probably going to regret it because as time goes forward, your immune system turns off more, your natural immune system turns off more and more, and your body relies on that messenger RNA reprogramming perpetually having to be regenerated through a, quote, booster, and it's a bad situation. So it looks like if they're spraying to me, we have all the three components. We have the scientists developing the weapon, we have the jets spraying it in the sky, and we have people getting sick from a pathogen on the ground. And I say 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. What do you say, Daniel?
Well, you know, I'm looking at this from different angles. You know, they released those mosquitoes that they said were going to spread the vaccines. The biologically changed mosquitoes, they had released those. Then they are talking about in the news recently, if you're following along with the geoengineering of the foods as well, they're talking about making your vegetables so that you actually will get your vaccines through your vegetables. And I have a little bit of a life experience with this geoengineering. And I was working in a nursing home years ago. I worked at St. John's Home, and there was this man named Jack. I won't say his last name. But anyways, he was a military officer, and he was in the Air Force. You know, and I would always ask my residents about their lives and, you know, what was probably the most interesting thing that they'd ever experienced. Well, this gentleman said that he worked as a weatherman in the Air Force, and he did experimental weather projects. And he said the most interesting weather project that he ever experienced was when he was in the desert and they were using airplanes to spray chemicals to make the weather change. And he said that they made the weather change so much so that the building that they were working in, that the roof actually collapsed from the amount of snow that came down.
Yep.
So that's pretty interesting, you know, firsthand account from somebody that was in the military. You know, this was probably back in the 50s and 60s when this guy was, you know, doing these experimental weather manipulations.
Let me tell people some more about that, Daniel, what he was working on. And first of all, let me give you people the resource where you can go and check up on this yourself. If you go to Geoengineering Watch, geoengineeringwatch.org, and look up ice nucleation for weather modification. So it's a patented weather process. It's called ice nucleation for weather modification. Let me double check that because I'm on the site right now. Okay, here we go. The section you want to look up at Geoengineering Watch is called Engineering Winter. That's the short description of ice nucleation for weather modification. Engineering Winter. Long and short, they're spraying ice nucleating particles over the Great Lakes. And as the cold air comes out of Canada, those ice nucleating particles not only create snow in large amounts, like you were talking about, Daniel, they also create an unnatural cold layer of air that sinks to the ground, and they create an artificial cooling scenario to make people think that the planet's in a cooling state when it's actually warming dramatically. And that's not the only problem. And the part of the reason it's warming is the geoengineering. Whenever you put a layer of any type of vapor or type of mist or any type of artificial cloud over, it locks the heat in. They claim that it's reflecting the sun back out and it helps cool the planet, but it doesn't. It does much more damage by locking in, trapping overall heat. The amount of sun that's going to block out is minimal. The amount of heat it's trapped in when they spray the skies is very great. So if you go to geoengineeringwatch.org, Engineering Winter, and you'll read about ice nucleating operations over. It was also seen from satellite imagery in Texas when they had that, when it was, 28 or 30 degrees in Texas and it was ice and snowing. You know, meanwhile, it's 80 degrees in Alaska. So, and another scam is they're counting slush in the ocean. As you get near the poles, you get a slushy from a lot of the melting ice is turning to slush. And they're counting the slush as ice pack, which is complete fraud. It's nothing to do with ice. It's melting ice that's turned into slush, and it's indicative of an overall warming. So, geoengineer, and with the methane that's releasing out of the Russian methane craters, just type into your search engine, Russian methane craters. And you'll see these enormous, enormous craters where because of the melting ice pack in Siberia, large amounts of methane are releasing out of the planet, and it usually releases with a giant explosion. That accounts for a lot of the explosions people are hearing, and they don't know what it is. Earthquakes and spots, but they never occur. A lot of that methane release. And what's happening is the methane's releasing, it's disintegrating the ozone layer. The ozone layer from, I believe from the experts, said it's down to 4 millimeters or something like that. A ridiculously small, like the thickness of a cardboard box. That's how thin the ozone layer is right now, and it's allowing UVC radiation. There's UVA, UVB, and UVC. The UVC is deadly. And because of the geoengineering creating warming, which creates melting of the ice, it allows the methane to escape. Methane destroys the ozone, and UVC radiation is coming through in greater amounts. Some, according to one person who used to work for NASA and helps out the geoengineering community, you know, the people who are trying to stop it, he did some research and said the UVC that's hitting the ground now is astronomical, and it's dangerous to have UVC hitting the ground. So ozone depletion, methane release, overall warming, with artificial cooling scenarios, just like the one you just described from your friend Jack, who used to work in the Air Force and creating snow events out in, where was it, out west? Dan, you say it was in Nevada? Dan? Hello, Daniel.
Well, you know, I'm not sure where the guy's military base was. He just said they were in the desert. I figure it's probably somewhere in New Mexico or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, okay. So, anyway, that's what I wanted to share with everybody tonight. You know, is anybody out there really foolish enough to believe that the government is trustworthy, that you should be believing what they tell you? Almost everything they say, you should do just the opposite. If they say masks help, you can be assured they're more toxic than helpful. If they say the vaccine is safe and effective, you can guarantee it's not. And I hate to do just a knee-jerk reaction, but every time I do my research on these topics, it turns out the government's lying and scamming people into buying a corporate product, taking a drug, doing something that will submit them to greater control instead of greater freedom.
Well, you know, what's really interesting, Eric, is, you know, how they use, you know, Hollywood in these movies. We all know, well, maybe we don't all know, but us people that actually do some research into different things, we know that the United States military has contracts with, you know, Hollywood, and they get Hollywood to manipulate, you know, movies to put things together that will manipulate the minds of the people. It's kind of like, you know, when they did The War of the Worlds with George Orwell. You know, there's a perfect example. But when we're talking about this, you know, this rain, and we're talking about these weather weapons, you know, it's interesting that recently, if you go on to Netflix or Hulu or on any of these places that, you know, you can watch movies, you're starting to see within the last few years, movies that have a lot to do with biological weapons in the rain. You know, there's quite a few of those movies out there that have, you know, the rain affects people.
The brainwashing is everywhere. I've seen it, Daniel. Now, I don't have a TV. I haven't had one in 30 years. But my neighbor does. And occasionally I go over and help her because she's older and needs a little help doing things. So I can't help but watch the TV once in a while when I'm there because she's got it on. And there was one movie, I don't even remember the name of it, some type of war movie, and glorifying war, another movie glorifying the war machine. And at the end of the movie, it was a war with the aliens, okay? And the aliens were, you know, battling the people, you know, and it was back and forth. At the end of the movie, the great news was that the aliens had been destroyed, and the general who was doing the briefing, telling everybody how we were back in control and the aliens had been defeated, and he said, quote, Russian and Chinese troops are sweeping across Europe. And I said, oh boy, getting people ready for the invasion much? You know, and he was the general in the movie was saying it like it was a good thing, you know, because Earth had come together, all the different, you know, all the countries had united against those aliens. By the way, William Cooper, who was a world-class researcher and a former naval intelligence officer, he said, beware of the false flag alien invasion. The government's going to stage an event and claim that the aliens are invading. They may even have some genetic, you know, mutant hybrid robot thing, who knows, whatever, to release and make it actually show you actual creatures that look like aliens. I can assure you it'll most likely be something created in the underground bases. I thought that was interesting brainwashing. Right? And, okay, so, you know, the aliens come and the Earth all unites. You know, the Chinese and the Americans and the Russians and the Africans and the Mexicans and everybody, all the, you know, people from South America are all together fighting against the evil aliens. So,
interesting is, you know, if people want to do some research to verify, you know, trust but verify what we're talking about, well, if you look up a thing, it's called Project Blue Beam. That's an actual military project where they were going to use 3D projections to actually make it look like there was going to be a war of the worlds type scenario, or a second coming of, you know, Jesus Christ, and they're going to use these holograms to basically make the world believe that we're under attack. Well, and the reason they said that they wanted to do that was to bring all the governments together under one jurisdiction.
Yeah, there's your one world government. Some people may want to look up Prince Charles appears at speech by hologram. And it was I think it was a global warming conference or something like that. And you know, lest people think that I'm a advocate of the global warming, we just have to watch how fast the ice caps are melting. That'll say it all. So that'll prove who's wrong or not. I used to believe we were cooling and going into an ice age. I found out about weather nucleation, ice nucleation, what winter weather engineering and all this stuff, like you talked about, making snow in the desert, you know, so much it collapsed the roof of the...
Well, I do want to say one thing, you know, because, you know, I've also been doing research into this for years and as well. And, you know, the one thing that they don't ever really talk about is the ice caps. You talk about the ice caps and you say that they're both melting. Well, from what I'm researching, what I found out is that one of the ice caps is melting and the other one is growing. And I believe, it's not really the manipulation of the Earth. I believe it has a lot to do with the position of the sun and the axis of the Earth. And so what I think is going to happen here in the future is one of the ice caps will melt, and as the other one melts, the other one grows. And what's going to happen, I could see happening, is gravity is eventually going to take over when the one ice cap gets so heavy, it's going to be pulled towards the sun, and you're going to see another flip of the axis of the Earth. That's just my take on the whole ice cap thing, because I don't really see both ice caps melting. I see one melting, and I see the other one growing.
Well, interesting. A lot to talk about there. Recently, I've been listening to a presentation that was done by a scientist who says there's no way that the Earth can be the shape that it's being that we're being told it is. It has to be more flat than it is round. And he cited all this evidence. At a certain, if the Earth is as big as they tell us it is, it should have a certain curvature. At 256 miles, you should not be able to see the spire of the cathedral at Antwerp in Europe. At what they're telling us, you should not be able to see a person across a salt flat with a pair of binoculars 100 miles away from you. That would be over the horizon down. I've watched experiment after study. Two people on a lake did it. They picked a lake that was far enough where, anyway, long and short was, It was not the curvature that we're being told based on the statistics that NASA's giving us. So I thought it was interesting. And he made a very interesting presentation that the Earth is more, not necessarily flat, but certainly not a ball spinning at 900 miles an hour. How does the whole entire atmosphere spin at 900 miles an hour so you get days where there's no wind at all? You would have to have some type of wind shear, some type of, how is the entire biosphere, the air, the clouds, all moving at 900 miles an hour? Think, is that what you're suggesting? And I think that's absurd. So there's a lot to discuss on that. Okay, so and I strictly listen to the evidence, to the logic. I don't go by, well, are you kidding me? You know, we've been told this for so long. Nobody would have done anything. They have this, you know, have you ever been up in the space station? And apparently the camera that they use to take a picture of the Earth from the space station, from the satellite, have fisheye lenses that make it look round when it's not. And there's an actual video of them taking the fisheye lens out, and then the Earth's showing completely different from what we're told it is. So I think that would be...
You know, these are definitely some things that we can speculate on. You know, I'm not really a flat Earth person, but, you know, they definitely have some interesting... I've watched plenty of the videos, but I'm still not convinced that the Earth is flat like a checkerboard.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it was very interesting to hear that if we take what we're told, which is the Earth is this big, you know, it's this many miles across, it's spinning at this speed, and then you do those numbers and you start looking at the actual geography and the implications of what they're saying, none of it really holds up. So
we've just recently, within what, the last 100 years, come up with the technology to like a tape measure to basically be able to, you know, to measure the world and stuff like that. You know, whether it's flat or whether it's rounded. You know, I just look around me, and I look up at the sun, and I see it's round. I look at the moon, I see it's round. I look up at stars, I see they're round. I blew bubbles as a kid, and those bubbles, how do they get round? You know, that's how it naturally forms.
Yep.
So that's what I think, you know, the Earth's atmosphere is a round bubble. You know, that's what we have, and what's inside of the Earth, you know, that's really what we're talking about. I don't think we're talking about the atmosphere of the Earth. I think it's, you know, what's inside of that atmosphere.
Yeah. No, it's interesting stuff to talk about, and I'm just looking for the truth. I'm not saying, you know, like, you know, I'm not saying I'm a flat earther. I've always thought the same way you did. All these celestial objects we look at are round. Does that mean we're round? It should. Although, if you believe in the Bible, if you read it carefully, it makes a bigger case for a flat Earth than it does, because it says the four corners of the Earth.
Right, yeah, of course.
There's a whole bunch of things in the Bible that would lead to one to believe that the Earth is not necessarily round. But, you know, I like the debate. I like the discussion, okay? Some people get offended. Oh, what are you doing? They start criticizing. And
right, yeah. Exactly.
Well, depends their paradigm. And some people are weak and insecure. They don't want their paradigm. I like to be challenged. I liked it. I used to, you know, assume the Earth's round. Everything else is. It appears that way. You know, we're told it is. I've never been up to the space station, you know, personally, for firsthand. So we're all just kind of regurgitating hearsay. How many of us have actually been up there with firsthand knowledge? None. We only have what we're told. Now, when we find out that science and government are a bunch of liars and murderers, as we just heard with Ken Caldera saying how nice it would be to set up a hydrogen bomb under the water to create a tidal wave, how nice it would be to spray a pathogen in a cloud in the sky and let it rain down on your enemy. Stupid idiot Americans, they'll never even know they're under attack. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely were dealing with a...
So when I'm told something, a band of murderers and Satanists and liars, it does tend me to question and want to just look into things a little deeper to make sure I'm certainly not believing these sinisters. No effing way.
Yeah, you know, we're definitely dealing with a lot of sick people that are in the government, but, you know, there's still some good people in there that are trying to do some good things.
Problem. If the overall system and almost all aspects of it are serving the Antichrist system, how much can you claim a good guy or good girl status while you're serving that these system? Now, I know we all have to drive on the roads and, you know, go to stores that might have GMO food on the shelf even though we don't buy it. I mean, there's going to be a certain amount. You may have to use Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, or some other, you know, some corporate nightmare, you know, just to be able to communicate. I understand. There's certain, we can't avoid it totally, but why not avoid it where you can? And so I say, you know, that's the best bet. Try to stay out, try to stay independent of the system, keep your technology low, keep your discernment high, trust nothing the government says. Do your own research, look into things yourself. There's a lot of interesting people out there who are really smart, who are worth listening to. Most of them are not in the government.
Right. You know, it's interesting. There's a guy, obviously we all know who Ronald Reagan is. You know, I didn't really like, you know, Red Ronnie very much. But he did say one thing that I definitely agree on, and it has to do with trust but verify. You know, we all have to be doing our work, our due diligence, you know, to prove ourselves to be worthy of calling ourselves truthers, you know?
Yeah, no, the Bible encourages us to be wise, have knowledge, not be of this world, but know what this world is that we're in, or we're not going to make the right decision. Ignoring it's no plan. That's just a, you know, procrastinating and ignoring is a recipe for disaster. So,
right. You know, and you know, the Word of God, in the Bible, it talks about, you know, my people perish for a lack of knowledge.
Yeah, Hosea 4:6, I think that was. So, knowledge is good. It's what we do with it. If we can get our people listening right now to share this knowledge with people, Daniel's going to post a link to Ken Caldera making his little nightmare speech there, telling us about tidal waves generated by nuclear weapons under the water and pathogens sprayed in clouds over our heads.
Hey, and I just, you know, for an audience that's listening, I want to encourage you guys to participate in these conversations with us, you know, leave comments, and we tend to try to get back to you guys, you know, on WordPress or Facebook or any of the social sites that are out there. We really appreciate the interaction from our audience because we believe that iron sharpens iron, you know, and if we're wrong in a place, or maybe there's something that we could learn from our audience, we definitely encourage constructive criticism here. So,
absolutely. We want to hear it. We want people. Look, if we all just agreed with each other all the time, that would be, we'd never learn anything. We'd never get anywhere. So, we all need to be, think critically. If people want to challenge what we talk about, great. I think, you know, Ken Caldera, statements speak for themselves. That wasn't me talking on that video. That was Dr. Ken Caldera. And so, I mean, he's telling us what he's doing. We see it's being done, and we see people getting sick. It's very, very likely, in my opinion, that these events are connected. Okay, let's just say that. And, you know, we can gather proof along the way. See if there's a uptick in emergency room visits on days when they're spraying heavily in the skies. You see geoengineering going down heavily one day, check the emergency room visits for the next 72 hours. Apparently, there was an uptick at the in Australia after heavy spraying. There was an uptick in emergency room visits. So I would like
to... You know, something interesting, too, Eric. You know, I was listening to a show recently, and I can't recall what show it was because I listened to, like, a lot of different radio programs during the day. I listen to some, you know, RBN quite a bit, Republic Broadcasting Radio. Then I listen to the Alex Jones Show. Sometimes I listen to the mainstream. So, but one of the things that, you know, I think we can add into this conversation, because we're talking about the weather and we're talking about, you know, people getting sick, is that somebody mentioned that there's a giant asteroid that is within a certain amount of space from the Earth. And they said that in the past, there was an asteroid that passed by passed by the Earth. And the tail end of it, whatever was in the asteroid's tail, as it came and fell upon the Earth, they said that that was one of the last big plagues, was when this giant asteroid had passed by the Earth. And supposedly the same asteroid during the last big plague is now passing by the earth. I'm not exactly sure what day or what it's called at the moment, but you guys can look into that.
I kind of doubt that they're okay. Anything's possible. But
well, it's one of the old fables. It talks about the first rain of the season. You know, the old fables of these ancients or the indigenous people. One of their main things that they would talk about in their folklore legends is in the spring, don't go out into the first rain, because what it's doing is it's bringing and it's cleansing the atmosphere. And during this last asteroid, when that happened, it rained down. A lot of people got sick from that.
Possibly, I could attend it. My first instinct would be they're going to use that as a cover story. After
it's possible.
The most likely perpetrator is going to be usually the most obvious one. We have a scientist right here, Lawrence Livermore Laboratories, telling us he's going to spray a pathogen in the clouds. So,
here's the thing too, is maybe this is actually happening with the asteroid passing by, and they're going to do whatever they're going to do. These evil scientists.
I can tell you what they're going to do. They're going to release something. They're going to release something stronger. Bill Gates said, "Wait till they see the next one that's really going to get their attention."
Right, and it's going to parallel. Basically, it's going to parallel this asteroid, and they're going to blame it on the asteroid.
There you go.
So that's where I was going with this. I wasn't saying that the biological weapons were not going to be released. What I was thinking is they're going to blame it on the asteroid. Instead of blaming it on the mad scientists.
Right, exactly. Right. So I wouldn't fall for the asteroid story, folks. That's gonna be the cover story while the C-130s are flying overhead, spraying it into the clouds on a cloudy, rainy day. You're never even gonna see. But you can hear it. You can hear the air traffic, the planes flying over for hours. In a rural place out in the country like where I live, there's not planes flying over all day long. It doesn't. We're not on a main. We're not near an airport. Nothing close. We get occasional, several a day. Sometimes several an hour if it was a busy day. But that's it. And those are at all different levels, going different directions. There's on a cloudy day, when you hear planes flying over all day, something's going on that we're not being told about. So actually, we are being told about it. Ken Caldera, the guy who does the geoengineering, just told us. We talked about spraying pathogens in the cloud, and it could rain down on your enemy. Sounds like he was not against it. Sounds like he's having fun doing his job. We got some crazy people in positions of power. That's my contention. Is it's a cover story. When they claim aliens, it's probably going to be something of our own creation. When I say ours, I mean, mankind's.
So now we have this information. Okay, so what exactly are we going to do with this information? Are we going to run around? Are we going to say that the sky is falling, or are we going to get prepared? What do you do to prepare for something like this?
You got to share the knowledge. Take this statement. Print it out on a piece of paper, share it with as many people as you can so people can see, this is what Lawrence Livermore does. They develop weapons projects that they could spray in the sky and make the people on the ground sick. Why should we think that's not going on now? There's constant air traffic overhead, obviously dispersing something. So, and then people are getting sick. So it's like there's the three components to this, what do you want to call it, this nightmare. And I think we have all the three pieces in place. I don't think it's a stretch to say this is being generated, but very likely generated from the sky in aerosol dispersion. Follow the geoengineering and the emergency room. I think that's going to be that's going to give us some more substantial proof. So that would be helpful. So
yeah, specifically, there's a specific term that people can look up for the geoengineering, and it's called aerosol radiation. If you look into that specific term, aerosol radiation, you are going to find the actual scientists and their white papers on geoengineering.
It's aerosol geoengineering. It's solar radiation management. It's aerosol, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering is one of the terms. Solar radiation management is one of the other terms. And this will take you right to the patents of the government, the scientific projects.
Right.
You have ionospheric heaters. That's ionospheric heaters. I-O-N-E-S-P-H-E-R-I-C. Ionospheric. Ionospheric heaters, and then, of course, ice nucleation for weather modification. All this stuff can be found at Geoengineering Watch. The guy who does the website's brilliant. He's got great stuff. Watch all the videos. There's a new video out, called documentary on this, called The Dimming. That's The Dimming. Go watch it. You can watch it for free at geoengineeringwatch.org. All these videos are posted right on YouTube. A Ken Caldera video talking about spraying a pathogen in the sky. And I suggest people download these in a hard copy if they can, even if you're going to get a screenshot recorded onto something, because if they take this down off the internet, it'll be gone. It's important information that will wake people up. So what do you do? Your answer is A, share your knowledge to wake people up so we have a critical mass of awakening. Then the public pressure will make the ship go where it needs to go, which is the right direction. But it takes a lot of people. Most people are sitting back, kicking back, you know, put your mask on, be scared, watch the TV, listen to Fauci, and call it a day. That's not going to work out very well at all. So we got to face this music with the geoengineering. It's most likely what's causing COVID-19. And if we share our knowledge and then get prepared, that's our best bet. We got about 20 seconds left. So anyway, share knowledge, get prepared, go to courtroomwatch.com or .org. And support Pruitt's tree resin. Great product we'll talk about in the near future. That's Pruitt's. Pruitts. PruittsTreeResin.com. Have a good night, Daniel.
All right, you too, Eric. Thanks, man. God bless. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to go and sign up at social1776.com. And look us up at the antideepstateparty.com. You can find a lot of our work over there, as well as Eric was saying, at courtroomwatch.com. All right, guys. Well, this is the end of the program. I look forward to your comments, and we shall talk to you soon. God bless, and all have a good night.
Take care, y'all. Have a good night.
All right. Bye.